I ask you this morning to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4. Matthew, chapter number 4, and we will pick up reading in just a moment in verse number 18. Again, let me say that on this day that this nation has set aside to honor and remember its fathers, we welcome the fathers in our midst today. Amen. If you are a father today, I want to ask you to stand for a moment. Okay. Let's have our fathers stand for a moment. Amen. Yeah. I'm going to have Cindy come up here and get a picture of all of our dads here. Okay. You know, the world spends a lot of time trying to beat you fellows down into the dust. Amen. All right, today we're going to lift you up. Amen. We want to try to help you today as best we can. All right, so now I'm not quite sure how we went about this last year, Brother Tom. You or maybe Brother John can enlighten me. We have something for our fathers here. Do we give it to them before now or do we give it to them after the service? Huh? At the end. Okay. Fathers, we will have something for you when the service is over, okay? So... Okay.
You can't drop your chair back.
Yeah. Okay. Dads, go ahead and have a seat. Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate our dads. Amen. Matthew chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 18. I turned it on, John. Let me see if that's good. Okay. We are on. I have blue light. All right. Are we good? We're good. Okay. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse number 18. Lord willing, I'm not going to hold you long today, dads. All right. I want you to be able to enjoy this day with your families, okay? And so we're going to try to keep this brief today if we can. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Praise God, he's still making fishers of men. Amen. Verse 20, "And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." If you would, please allow me to direct your attention back to verses 21 and 22. Now, in verse number 21, we see two men by the names of James and John. They, along with Peter, whom we saw mentioned in verse number 18, would go on from here to be a part of our Lord's earthly inner circle, if you will, going with him to the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 and to the innermost area of the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26. But in this verse, they are working shoulder to shoulder with a no-nonsense father named Zebedee, who has no doubt instilled a work ethic in his sons and taught them not only how to fish and help provide a living for the family, but also the importance of inspecting and maintaining their equipment. To this day, if you know anything about this, commercial fishing is still a very unforgiving business. All right, there was no time for these men for extended holidays, and there was no room for excuses, because if they didn't work, not only would their families, but the families of their customers would go hungry. Paul would later establish this as a New Testament commandment in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, where he said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Amen. Now notice that verse says "would not work." It does not say "could not work." Now, that means if a man is physically and mentally capable of working, he should be working for his living. All right, that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Now, in verse 22 of our text, we see that when the Lord called these men, their response was immediate. They left the ship, and they left their father, and they followed him. You know, I've always found it interesting that when the Lord called his first disciples, and that's what he's doing in this passage, he didn't go down to the local college or university. Did you notice that? Where the modern-day Epicureans and Stoics that we call professors sit around waiting to hear some new thing to pollute the minds of our young people with. He did not go down to the local pub or tavern where the local malcontents and would-be philosophers go on alcohol-fueled rants about how oppressed they are and how their failures in life are everyone's fault but their own. And he certainly didn't go down to the local news media outlet if they had any in that day. I'm sure they at least had a town crier, right? Where the so-called presenters present nothing but lies, distortions, and half-truths to advance a corrupt political narrative. No, loved ones, he went down to the Capernaum docks on the Sea of Galilee where a tough, calloused-hand old fisherman named Zebedee had raised two sons who were not only not afraid to work, but well-prepared for the calling they received of the Lord. And if James and John could be with us today, I'm sure that they would testify that Zebedee was a good father. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today we live in a world that vilifies fathers. It is not a coincidence that television situation comedies, with few exceptions, portray fathers as bumbling idiots. Now, while mom was always the cool, calm, and level-headed one, government social programs have given women alternatives to having a father in the home, with one of the unintended consequences being over half of Ireland's prison inmates coming from fatherless homes. Stop and think about that for a minute. And I say all of these things for the purpose of saying this. Fathers, and you know who you are, you stood, and so we can honor you a few moments ago. Fathers matter. Amen. You matter to your families. You matter to this preacher. You matter to this church, and above all, you matter to Almighty God. Amen. And if there were ever a time where we needed to lift up our fathers and encourage them, all right, and give them and equip them to stay in the fight for their families and for their homes, it is now. Amen. So today's message, probably going to be pretty short. It doesn't have to be long to get the point across. It's entitled, and Cindy says amen, all right? Today's message is entitled, Three Things That Every Father Needs. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching to these hardworking dads in our midst here today. Lord, they bear burdens that many of us know nothing about. Yet they're out the door every morning when the sun rises, ready to meet the challenges of that day, Father, to keep a roof over their family's head and clothes on their back, shoes on their feet, and food in their bellies, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these men, Lord, that work so hard to do that. Lord, I pray that you use me to encourage them and help them today, Lord, for just a few minutes, Father, on this day that we've set aside for their honor, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that every father needs in this day and age is enlightenment. Now, what do I mean by that? Webster's 1828 dictionary defines the word enlighten as to illuminate with divine knowledge or a knowledge of the truth. It is very hard to provide for and protect your family when you don't know how God expects you to do it, right? So, dads, we must purpose in our hearts to spend daily time in our Bibles. The world, the flesh, and the devil are not going to give you that time. You are going to have to make time, all right? You're going to have to make time for God and make time to spend in His words. You know, David said this when God delivered him from the hand of Saul. He said in Psalm 18, verse 28, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Boy, it got pretty lonely hiding out in those caves from Saul and his men, right? David said, that's okay, the Lord's going to enlighten my darkness. Psalm 119, verse 30, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. it giveth understanding to the simple. If ever a man understood frustration, it was David. He's living right. He's serving God, doing everything he can to serve the king, yet Saul in his jealousy sought to slay him. But when things seemed to be at their darkest moment, God always provided the light for him to steer clear of the danger. And in that verse, I hear echoes of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Did he say some things, dads? He said all things, didn't he? Like what, you ask? Well, how about establishing a family altar in your home where you lead your family in daily devotions and prayer? According to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it is the fathers who are charged with raising the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Moms play a huge role in that because dads have to spend a lot of time away from the home. And we're not trying to diminish that at all here this morning. But dad, make no mistake about this, you are the one that God's going to hold accountable at the judgment seat of Christ for the spiritual instruction of your children. What other things can a dad do? How about conducting routine sweeps of your home to root out ungodly materials that might lead your family astray? Ungodly books, ungodly magazines, ungodly anything. Amen? Dads, that's your responsibility. Not your wives, it's yours. Amen? Oh, here's a tough one here. How about monitoring the apps that your children use on their phones and their computers? Any app with a disappearing feature should be forbidden. Now, Snapchat was a huge problem when we came here in 2018. It has lost a little bit of its luster since then. But there are other apps out there with these disappearing features for your children. Can send lewd photos of themselves, and others can send lewd photos of themselves. That kind of thing needs to be put to a stop. Amen? Well, preacher, you don't understand. My wife would get upset about that. And? She's been upset before, hadn't she? And just like every other time, she'll get over it. Amen? Her heart's not right with God, all right? You would much rather have God, her upset with you rather than have God upset with you. Amen? Do it anyway. Your home is not a democracy. Amen? God has made you the final authority in that home under His guidance. Do it. Any doubt in your mind? Hold your place right here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Now here is God on His way to Sodom and Gomorrah to make an ash pile out of it, and He decides to stop in and pay Abraham a visit. All right? Beginning in verse 17, the Bible said, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him. Highlight that verse in your Bible, dads. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. For I know him. God knew Abraham, and he knows you too. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You know, it could be very well that the blessings God wants to bestow upon your home and your family, he can't do it until you step up and take the reins of leadership. Amen. And get rid of those things that are displeasing to God. What's another way? What's another thing that you can do through Christ which strengtheneth you? We tend to want to be tough guys, don't we, Dad? All right? You know, I come from the never let them see you sweat generation. Amen? But you can allow your children to see you praying. They should see you praying. Allow your children to see you displaying normal affection toward your wife. Amen. Now, you are the first and foremost role model for your daughter in what to look for in a husband, whether you realize it or not. And every now and then, you see your wife is burdened about something or she's having trouble, walk over and put your arm around her and just give her a little peck on the forehead or on the cheek. You don't have to say a word. That just lets her know that you love her, that you understand what she's going through. And God forbid, he might even touch your heart to give her a hand or whatever she's working on. Amen. Don't happen often, but he might. Amen. These are just a few examples of what a man can do when he allows God to enlighten him. In Paul's sevenfold prayer for the Ephesian church, in Ephesians chapter 1, one of his requests was, and we find this in chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You could preach for a week from that verse alone, but we've got to move on. The second thing that fathers need today is edification. You don't just need enlightenment, but you also need edification. That's defined as a building up in knowledge, in morals, or in faith and holiness. We said earlier, the world seeks to tear down fathers because fathers are the first line of defense against evil in the home. And if Satan can destroy a father, he opens up a home to all manner of vile perversions, such as gender transition. That's a big issue in America, and it's coming here, folks. Our fathers need to be built up so that they might stand strong against this present evil world. Now, I know the context of this verse that I'm about to read you is questionable things, but it is still good practical instruction in all things. Romans chapter 14, verse 19, Paul said, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace." No unnecessary fights, okay? Your home should be a place of peace. It should be a place of refuge. You know, when your wife and kids, when yourself, you come home from a day's work, wife comes home from her work, kids come home from school, this is a place where we can come and just forget about the world for a while and enjoy each other's company. Amen? "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Now, what are some of the ways that a man can be edified or built up? I think the first and foremost way is instruction in righteousness. How are you going to instruct your children in righteousness if you yourself have never been instructed in righteousness? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why? Verse 17, "that the man of God may be perfect," and that never means sinless, it just means complete, "throughly furnished unto all good works." Now, I realize that the primary doctrinal application of that verse is to ministers, but it is good practical instruction to all Christians. Can we not agree that it is wise to take every opportunity to receive instruction in righteousness? You can learn something from pretty much anybody, can't you? Amen? Now, if that's true, then why aren't more people, particularly men, coming to the family Bible study on Sunday morning at 10? We have an excellent teacher who's always prepared, and he don't need me to blow his horn. He don't need that or want that. I'm just stating fact. Brother Trevor is always prepared. He's as Irish as they come, so you don't have to listen to me babble. And he happens to share a common background with many of you. So why aren't more men here? I'm just asking you point blank, men. Why aren't more of you here? It comes down to one reason and one reason only. Because you don't want to be. If you wanted to be here, you would be. Amen. Why do you get up in the morning and go to work? Why do you watch any television program? Why do you eat what you eat? And the fact that you may have a compelling reason to do one or more of those things is irrelevant. The point is, you do them because you want to. Amen. Sunday morning attendance at church is a Saturday night decision, men. Amen. Sunday morning's not the time to be trying to dig your clothes out, trying to get the car topped off with fuel, right, and all the other things that might keep you from getting here in a timely manner. Christianity, men, is not an a la carte buffet where you can take a little of this and a little of that and ignore everything else. Unless you are providentially hindered, you and your family should be here every time the doors are open. Amen? Another way you can be edified is participation in church ministries. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, Peter said, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Can I summarize those verses real quick, men? Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. All right? And that something falls within the talent or ability that God has given you. Amen. Friday street ministry. We had four men show up for street ministry on Friday. And Weston, what do you say? We probably handed out 250 tracts, right? Presentations of the gospel. That's what it's all about. Okay? You don't have to do anything a lot of times, just stand there and hold a tract out. I've said this many times, and I'll say it again here this morning. We are seeing a many-fold increase in the number of people taking tracts from us this year, as opposed to a year. A year ago, you couldn't beg some people to take a tract. Now, you'll have a gaggle gather up around you. You can't hand them out fast enough. You have people walking from half a block back down the street where you are. Hey, can I have one of those? That wasn't happening last year. People are looking for answers. Amen. Men, you're not responsible for results. You're responsible for obedience. If you'll just get out there and spread this, plant the seed, amen, you plant, another will water, and God will give the increase. I know you have work schedules, all right? I know you have family demands, and I'm not trying to minimize any of that. But if you have time, all right, it's a great way to get involved in a church ministry without a whole lot of cost, all right? We provide the tracts. We got a suitcase full of tracts, a suitcase full of Bibles. Do you know how many Bibles we've been able to give to Muslims just in the last 6 months? And they're grateful for them. They are thrilled that somebody cared enough to bring them a Bible. Amen. It's a very, very rewarding thing to get involved in. If you can't get involved in that, all right, how about Saturday door-to-door ministry? I've never seen Brother Bill refuse anybody for Saturday door-to-door ministry. All right. Again, you don't have to do anything. If you don't have any experience, that's okay. We'll pair you up with someone who is experienced, okay? And you can see what it's like to minister to somebody in their door to try to get them the gospel. Amen? That's our duty as a church. We have a responsibility to get involved in these things. And getting involved in the ministries of the church, men, will not only stir your soul, it'll help you conquer your fears. Amen? Another way that we can be edified is through helping fellow saints. And many of you are very good at this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." If you see one of your fellow saints here at this church in need, men, and you can help meet that need, go meet it. Nobody has to know about it but you and the individual involved. All that matters is that you know, they know, and God knows. Amen. No announcements, no fanfare. Just do it. and watch God bless you. Amen. And finally this morning, fathers need encouragement. In the closing days of his life, Moses called for Joshua and issued a charge to him. What exactly is a charge? It is an order, injunction, mandate, or command. And I want you to notice as I read this that Joshua's charge comes with some encouragement from Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." How would you like to lead that stiff-necked bunch? They gave Moses fits, didn't they? Wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and now he's about to hand the reins to Joshua. Wouldn't that be just a little bit intimidating to you if you were in Joshua's shoes? It certainly would be to me. Then in verse 8, Moses offers the encouragement. "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Joshua needed encouragement in his day, and men, you need encouragement today, whether you want to admit it or not. It is sometimes very difficult for fathers to find that encouragement. Men, all of us, without exception, tend to internalize a lot of things, don't we? Just not wanting to be a burden to anybody else with our little old problems, right? From time to time, though, we do appreciate somebody showing some concern for us, don't we? The burden of leadership gets heavy at times. And there isn't a father in this building today who hasn't endured a sleepless night over family finances, his job status, a sick or needy child, or one of 100 other things. And wives, children, fellow church members, when you see that strain begin to take its toll on that dad, offer a word of encouragement. What was it Solomon said in the book of Proverbs? "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a frame of silver." It'll mean a lot to that dad. Offer a simple hug, or an "I love you," or "I'm praying for you." Ladies, wives, for no apparent reason, when he comes home from work one day, have his favorite meal on the table for him. It's a small gesture, but it means a lot. Amen. Children, here's a good way you can help your dad, okay? If you happen to be awake when dad heads out the door to work, meet him at the door and give him a hug and tell him you love him. With those words, you just did more for him than 10 cups of coffee will do for him. Amen. That will make your dad's day. You know, sometimes nonverbal communication works best. Just walk by him sometimes and just give him a pat on the shoulder or a pat on the back. You haven't said a word, yet you have spoken volumes. Amen. If a man will sit here today and tell you that stuff don't mean anything, he's either foolish or a liar. Or both. Most men are not good liars. Amen. All right. So what do fathers need today more than anything? They need enlightenment. They need edification. And they need encouragement. Amen. And all of us have a role to play in that. Amen. Don't let a dad in this building today leave without letting him know that he's appreciated. Okay? Children, right in front of this whole congregation, if your dad's here today, let him know you love him. Let him know you appreciate everything he does for the family and for your home. My dad's been home with the Lord since May 17th, 2020. And there's not a day it goes by that I don't think about him. Because he helped make me who I am. He's a big reason why I'm standing here today. Amen. That's going to be true of a lot of you too, young people. All those sayings that you thought your dad was being stupid, you know, all the times he corrected you or said stuff that you thought was crazy or off the wall. You get off to college, you're in the workforce, it's amazing how many times those words will echo through your mind. Amen. God put him in your path for a reason. Amen. Honor him today. Men, dads, this is your day. Enjoy it. Whatever you've got planned for your family today, take the time to enjoy the day. Amen. Enjoy that 12-ounce sirloin steak. Amen. Or that tomahawk ribeye. Amen. Go home and prop your feet up in the recliner. Amen. Enjoy your day. Amen. It's God's intent that we honor you. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Dads, I hope that was an encouragement to you. Yeah. Stay strong, men. Lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. Amen. Father, we thank you for our fathers. We thank you for every father in this building here today and what they mean to their families and what they mean to our church. And Father, we pray that you bless them on this, their special day, Father. That each father will leave here today knowing that he's loved and respected, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the fathers, Lord, that corrected us when we were children, Father, that disciplined us and helped make us who we are, Lord. Lord, we pray that you bless these men for their labor's sake today, Father. Bless these fathers, Lord, that make an effort to keep their families in your house, Lord. Lord, we love you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.